This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. There's a pretty big gap right now in access to high-speed internet service in western Wisconsin. Access ranges from 99% of the people in La Crosse County to just 6% in Adams County. About half of the people in most of the rural counties surrounding La Crosse, in what's often referred to as the Seven Rivers region, have access to high-speed internet. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has formulated plans and expert committees around the state with the goal of improving high-speed internet access. I recently spoke with broadband planning team member Bruce Matthew, whose day job is director of computer services at Western Technical College. He talks about why the Public Service Commission is looking at the broadband issue.
The group is made up of several different community members across not just in education, but we've got some people from the sheriff's office, the libraries, different community members, and it's across I want to say an 11 county, I think something. I didn't count up the number of counties, but there's several counties in Region 6, and what we're looking for is trying to determine what we need in, as far as broadband is concerned across those counties. Some of the counties are very underserved, and most of that's due to terrain, if you want to think about it in most terms. But our goal is to try to figure out what we, you know, what's available, where are the weak areas, if you want to say it that way, because there's a lot of areas that don't have good access, even with cell phone coverage. And once we determine that, then we want to work with the vendors that are in those areas that currently serve those areas to see if there are grants or loans or however you might want to say that to help them build out those areas. Part of that's going to be to educate the community members in that area to determine what they might use the internet for. It's almost a you don't know what you don't know kind of situation because they've never had access to it. And I think the younger generation is excited and wanting more access to the internet, but the older generation may not necessarily see a lot of value in it. And it's kind of like, you know, the age of the encyclopedia. Everybody, you know, used to have the encyclopedia salesmen driving around selling these to the farmers and the rural areas to try to get that information out. You know, and I'm dating myself now because this was probably back in the 50s and 60s that was happening. But now that information is all electronic. And you can't get that educational type information easily unless you have access to the internet and access to the electronic format that they can get that in.
So do you know how many people don't have access to broadband within Southwest Wisconsin? Maybe some of the areas
one of the highlighted areas we're looking at is Adams County. That's probably the least served, lowest served area. They're almost 46 or 47% of the county is less than 3 meg. So basically they're still dial-up. And that's a huge issue for that area because for an example, I mean, if working at Western Technical College, if we want to take interactive video courses and push those out to the homes, we can't do that in Adams County. And so, you know, those are some of the things. We could do it easily here in La Crosse, in the city of La Crosse especially, because we've got a very good service here, but we can't do it to the rural areas, which is where we really need to do it, because gas pricing and travel and everything else that's involved, we wouldn't be able to get that service out there. So that's one of the pieces that I'm pushing from the Western's perspective, is how can we get better bandwidth to the homes, because then we can push the education services out to the home instead of making the students drive to the college.
And besides the terrain, which you mentioned as an obstacle in getting broadband to many places within Southwest Wisconsin, is there anything else in, let's keep talking about Adams County maybe, that is also a barrier in getting broadband to the more rural areas?
Well, you know, if you look at it historically, back when electricity and especially the telephones were distributed, there were federal grants and loans and things that were provided to the service providers, the electrical companies and the telephone providers, to take that out to the last mile or down that last gravel road, if you want to think about it in those terms, to get that service out to those farms. And I say farms, but out to those homes. And now we're looking at what it's going to take to do this with the broadband initiative, whether that be some kind of a copper service or a fiber optic service to get those services out there. Most of the issue and even the current service providers, the telephone companies and the electrical companies, will tell you that that's very expensive to take, you know, all of that technology and wiring and telephone poles or however they need to get it out there, whether it's buried or telephone poles, down that last mile for one customer. It takes them forever. You know, they're not going to get the return of investment it's going to take to bury those cables and get them out there for one customer at, you know, at $25 a month or whatever they're going to try to charge them. You know, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to go those miles.
So you talked about the importance of education and getting that and becoming more accessible in rural areas. Why else is it important to expand broadband coverage?
Some of the services that we're looking at expanding could be access to health information, access to your doctors, emergency medical information, or even emergency services, different things like that. If you got medical monitoring of some kind that you need to have done, rather than have to be hospitalized, you could have that monitoring happening at home. The schools and from the government services especially, we're excited about this because then we can expand our services out. When we were looking at the pandemic issues of the bird flu and all those things that were a couple of years ago, we were setting things up to say, if we have a student that can't attend classes because of whatever medical reason, can we turn around and connect them remotely from home and keep them isolated so that they're not spreading the disease, or however you want to say that, and still be able to serve those students so that they aren't missing classes. So those are the type of things that we're excited about. There's a lot of government services with Social Security and Medicare and those kind of things that the senior citizens might be able to get access to, farm access programs, markets, different things like that they could get access to as well. Mostly just access to information. Like I said, you know, when you think in terms of if you're getting your news from now, you know, most of the newspapers are going away from the paper and trying to go to an electronic format. You may not be able to get a newspaper delivered to the house, you know, in a few years. You may not be able to get news other than broadcast over TV, unless you want, and any kind of interactive news where you can search for something, unless you've got electronic access like that.
Is there a demand for broadband in rural areas?
I think there is. That's part of what we're trying to manage and trying to measure. The telephone companies know where they've got connections and where they've got service. And what we're trying to map is where they don't have service. And so they can tell us what they have, but we're looking for the spaces that they don't have. And then that'll tell us a little better. I think there's demand for it, but again, no matter what, if I'm the only person on the end of that road and it's going to cost $100,000 to get that line down that road to me, I can have all the demand you want. I just am the it's not feasible to put it in unless we work out a way to do this in a volume type situation where we can, you know, we can subsidize that in some way.
So part of your Region 6 planning team for this for the broadband, the Public Service Commission's broadband plan, there's a lot of players involved in making this happen. Can you talk about the collaboration between Western Technical College, the government, the libraries, everyone who's playing a part in this?
Well, the interesting part of this is, and we see this in all of our collaborative efforts, just getting the right people to the table to talk about things suddenly starts opening up options and kind of gets us all paddle in the same direction, if you want to talk about, you know, if we're all pulling on a boat or doing something like that. Trying to educate each other on what we currently have plans, just like when, you know, do the other entities know that Western wants to try to take video out to the homes? Probably not. You know, those kind of conversations make a huge difference. Do the hospitals need to have access to be able to do medical monitoring? And could we combine that with an effort that we're trying to do? Those are the big conversations. And then what we're planning right now in our investment plan documents is to try to expand those discussions out to the rest of the rural communities. What are they trying to do? What are the local companies, community members, different efforts that they're working on, even the telecommunication companies, what are their efforts so that we can all try to push the same direction instead of working against each other? Or even duplicating efforts, because that's where the big efficiency comes from. Is if we're, if we're all trying to do the same thing, but we're doing it completely separate from each other, why aren't we working together to try to get to the same goal?
And within your plan, there's a very well laid out number of tasks and within a timeline of things that you want to accomplish within the next couple of years. Can you talk about the different steps that you all want to take and maybe what that end goal is? Is it to provide broadband access to everyone in Southwest Wisconsin?
Well, when you talked about demand, I think part of the process is we want to put together a map so that we really know the biggest targeted areas we need to go after. And then once we've got that defined, then we can start to work with those communities. And again, most of that is getting the right people at the table. And then getting them to start working together, because this is going to involve the telecommunications companies. It's going to involve the educational side, the government side, probably even the medical facilities. All of these people need to work together, and a lot of it's just sharing their 10-year plan, if you might want to say it. The process of just getting the conversation started is probably our biggest challenge, and getting that trust. Because we're bringing competitors to the table, excuse me, as well, and some of that is, again, they don't need to duplicate efforts as well. So if we can even get the competitors to say, hey, if I serve this area over here and do it really well, and you can serve that area over here, and we don't have to duplicate efforts, then we both save money and everybody benefits.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Bruce Matthew. He is the Director of Computer Services at Western Technical College. He's also a member of the Public Service Commission's Broadband Planning Team for Southwest Wisconsin. You just talked about the broadband providers and bringing competitors to the table. Along those lines, is there a plan to make broadband affordable for people in the area? There's a number of providers that people in the La Crosse area can go through, but it's generally about the same price.
Well, that's probably where we get back into the terrain situation again. Different providers have already got some areas covered, and it wouldn't make sense for another provider to come in and then put in duplicate cable, fiber, whatever that might be, that service right beside it. So we recognize that there are going to be some areas that there's only going to be one choice, but if we can say raise that demand, for lack of a better term, then that the volume will increase, and hopefully that will bring the prices down. Is kind of the way to look at that. Is the more if there's a single valley and only one customer is actually saying I want this service. Then we go back in and say, well, there's 10 more families that live in that valley. Instead of trying to serve one, now you can serve 12 or 13. What kind of price can you give these people and what kind of rates, those kind of things? And so that makes it more cost effective for the supplier to come in there, and also then helps them on their return on investment and those kind of things. And again, that's just getting the communications and everybody to work together.
As part of this plan, is it, as far as broadband providers goes, are existing companies going to be expanding lines, or is there any talks of startup broadband companies coming in and putting up new lines?
Right now, I think, that's probably a question that may be a little too early for what we're looking for. We're primarily concentrating on the existing suppliers and vendors. There very well could be locations, though, where nobody's serving those spaces, where somebody could come in and part of what we're investigating is not only the wired suppliers, if you want to think of them, where it's fiber optics or copper, however they're getting current phone services and cable TV services, but there could be wireless servers, wireless towers that are put in so that you can do the whether you think of those in terms of cell phone coverage or direct broadcast type networks where they're doing the wireless services. We're even investigating the communications over the power lines, networking over the power line services that are some of the power companies are investigating and investing in. So if those services are already in place, then there may be other options. It's a matter of, do we have the demand to do that? And then part of educating the community to say, hey, you know, this might be available. Would you be interested in, you know, and going back to that vendor and saying, you know, we've got 15 customers here that are interested in this. Do you want to pursue it down this, you know, down this one gravel road? Because that's really what we're talking about. Is there specific roads that, or valleys, however, the coulees, however you want to say it, that that just don't have service, whether that's cell phone or anything.
So you mentioned that getting that fiber optic cable down a gravel road, you know, it could cost up to $100,000. How is the money coming in for a project like this, and what are the other costs involved?
Well, initially right now, we've got a grant to do the investigation, and that's kind of where that's all we're really working on. You know, I think once we show the demand and we can show the need for those areas, then there's going to be other projects and other grant proposals and funding sources to come in and work on those projects, probably for specific areas. Going back to the Adams County area, you know, there could be a group specifically working in Adams County just to concentrate, you know, possibly working with the local providers already and how they can come in and help whichever company that might involve or multiple companies, and say, how do you work together to cover this space of this piece of the county?
So included in the state budget was money to keep funding WISCNET for another 2 years. They decided to keep the $40 million federal grant, which helps expand broadband in rural Wisconsin. Can you talk about how this project will be related to what the PSC is investigating?
Well, the WISCNET effort and the discussion that's happening with the UW system with all the legislature is primarily for the educational support. WISCNET supports the K-12, K-20, if you want to say, for the K-12s, the technical colleges, private colleges, the UW universities, and their extension offices, different areas like that. Public libraries, some of the county and city facilities across the state, and a few of the hospitals if they qualify as the educational facilities. And so what we're working on right now with the PSC is primarily for public services and not necessarily for the educational side. But part of what happens is when we're building that infrastructure across the state, all of those networks in some way or another influence each other. It could be that they're simply sharing the same conduit or pairs of fiber running across the county or wherever that might be. Some of it runs up and down the interstates because that's the easiest way to traverse the state. So a lot of those same conduits might have fiber optics that are running commercially, they're running educationally. There's all kinds of services that are running through those same pipes. The language of the legislation right now is talking about all the collaborative efforts and involvement in these networks, and so we're really not sure exactly what this means yet.